What is up? Welcome back to another episode of the Under 40 Victims of Fate podcast. Adam here, and there is Hank. Hank, what is going on? How are you, buddy?
I am I'm doing well. I feel very reverent, Adam. I feel very sincere tonight. But I'm doing well. It's been a wild week. You know, podcast number 4, you would think we got the hang of this bad boy, but in fact, we don't. We've been on this podcast now for 12 minutes. We've both been the host of the podcast 7 different times. Yep. And now we're finally recording a little bit, which is exciting. At least we got it. All is well that ends well, as they say.
Yeah, if anybody's listening to this right now, we should consider it a huge win. So if you're listening to this on any platform, just we did it somehow.
I'm going to give us some legitimacy right now, Adam, because if you're not your own fan, why would anyone else be? You know, I always tell people about Kobe, RIP, but Kobe didn't think he was decent. He thought he was the best player out there, you know?
That's right.
So I'm telling you now, I'm claiming it. We have a legitimate podcast, not as legitimate as our guest tonight, but we do have a legitimate podcast. We have reached the milestone of over 100 subscribers, which is remarkable that 100 people would take an hour or so out of their week to listen to us. But it really is a dream come true for a guy like me who loves to hear himself talk.
It's shocking, but it goes to show a lot of people like to hear people talk about Jimmy Buffett, you know. And I was a little worried when we started this because before we started, I was like, oh man, there's a real need for this. There's not Jimmy Buffett podcast out there. And since we started it, I found so many, including the one that our guest tonight hosts.
No doubt. And she is incredible, an outstanding podcast. We'll introduce her now, Leah with Blame It On Buffett. Not the original, but one of my favorite Jimmy Buffett podcasts. Leah, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, you guys. I'm happy to be here.
Outstanding. So, hey, Adam and I have been chatting for a little while. People probably love it when we have a guest on here. And this is a dual purpose. You are a dual purpose guest. You are both a fellow Jimmy Buffett podcaster, and you are a fellow Under 40 Victim of Fate, which is outstanding. So tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, those kind of things.
All right. Well, my name is Aaliyah Moore, and I have a podcast called Blame It On Buffett, which, like you said, when I started my podcast about a year ago, there were very few Jimmy Buffett podcasts. I think today in the podcasting world, it's rare that you look up a topic and there's not already 100 podcasts about that. But when I started out, I tried to find any, and there were a couple, but like I could find very few. And it's really exciting to me that there are more happening now because, you know, I love to talk about Jimmy Buffett with people. And so it's just great when there are even more people to talk about Jimmy Buffett with. But so I have been a Jimmy Buffett fan basically since I was born. I just found this out. This is an exclusive to this podcast. I haven't even talked about it on my podcast yet. Breaking. I literally don't know how this, I never knew this, but I just found out that my parents' first date was at a Jimmy Buffett concert.
Wow.
That's enormous.
I did not know that. Like, I knew that they liked Jimmy Buffett because that was how I learned about Jimmy Buffett, listening to him when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. But somehow I never knew that their first date was at a Jimmy Buffett concert at the University of Oregon. And it was in 1978. And it was, I looked it up, the Cheeseburger in Paradise tour, nice. Which now I really want to, I don't know if there were like t-shirts for that tour, but if anyone knows if there's a vintage Cheeseburger in Paradise 78 tour t-shirt out there, like hit me up because I need to know now. So yeah, that's how I got started. And I just have loved Jimmy Buffett ever since. I always say like, I never went through that rebellious, like hate your parents' music phase. Like I've always liked Jimmy Buffett. So yeah, it's just cool to be able to talk about him with other people. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love all my friends that are older that love Jimmy Buffett, but the crowd that likes Jimmy Buffett definitely skews older. So for it's sure. Really nice Like I met Dan from Classic Buffett, and now you guys. Like, it's really nice to meet some fellow under 40 victims of fate to talk about Jimmy with.
No doubt, no doubt. And now, what are your parents' names?
My mom's name is Chris, and my dad's name is Jerry.
So Chris and Jerry, we got to add that to the Wikipedia. 1978, enormous year for James.
That's right. That's right.
Releases a little album, maybe a few of us have heard of, called "Son of a Sailor," and Chris and Jerry. Love blossoms in the summer of Very 78 important. Out there in Oregon.
I would not be here, maybe, if not for that Jimmy Buffett concert. So thank you, Jimmy.
Yes, thank you, Jimmy. outstanding, because here we are having a ball. So, you know, you're a lot like me. We've talked about on the podcast before, Adam, very unfortunately, much later to the game than we were. I also raised on Jimmy Buffett, and some of my earliest memories of life are listening to Jimmy Buffett. But I'll tell you what, you're right. The crowd skews a little bit older, but one of my favorite songs, Here We Are. Here We Are. There's, you know, us and apparently a lot of folks in our age bracket who love Jimmy Buffett got really bored during COVID, right? Because there's us, like you mentioned, Classic Buffett, your podcast, unbelievable. You have some high power guests, some real punching power in your guests, which speaks to, you know, obviously the cachet you carry in the old trop rock world, but also Podcasting in Paradise, pretty new. Listen to those guys some this week. They gave us a shout out on their podcast. It came like an hour and 12 minutes in. Here's their shout out. You know, we're like 7 minutes into this guy, so they'll probably listen to 10 minutes of us this week.
Take that, Podcasting in Paradise.
That's right.
That's right.
We're getting you early on.
Hey, that's what happens when you're the more reverent of the two podcasts. Right. Right,
respectable. Maybe they should have thrown respectable, reverent. But those guys, I'll tell you, Ali, I don't know if you've listened to them. They are quite witty. They're funny and really great crustacean knowledge as well. So like you mentioned, a lot of us under 40 victims of fate, we probably share a lot of the same ideas about, I'm a little resentful of the older crowd. You know, they got to be there during the height of the wild Buffett times. Now they'd probably be arresting people left and right for some of the antics and hijinks I've heard about it in early shows.
Yeah.
But tell us about some of your concert experiences. You got a bunch of favorite concert memories and experiences. Tell us about those.
Yeah. So my first concert was when I was in, there's some dispute about this, second or third grade. I thought it was third grade, but my mom thinks maybe it was second grade. So I guess I could maybe look up the dates of the show and the location and see, but that's too much work, let's be honest. So in second or third grade, I apparently, and I did not know this until this year too, when I was talking to my parents, asked for this for my birthday, was to go to this Jimmy Buffett concert. It was my first concert ever of any kind. And I went, and I was so excited. I love Jimmy Buffett. Apparently it was my choice to go to the concert. That's why we were there. I always thought it was just like, cause I was going along with my parents. And I don't remember a lot from being that young, but I distinctly remember being in the elevator going up to, from like the parking structure to the arena, because it was at the Rose Garden in Portland, Oregon, which is where I'm from. Well, I'm from Bend, Oregon, but Jimmy doesn't come to Bend, Oregon. And there were like two guys in the elevator with us, and they were just like, oh, you're a little kid going to Jimmy Buffett. And I was just like, yeah, like I love Jimmy Buffett, and like I wanted to go for my birthday or whatever. And I just remember like have a distinct memory of like they were so surprised, and that surprise has kind of continued on for the rest of my life with most Jimmy Buffett fans that I meet, because mostly it has been from being in the Parrot Head Club, which is definitely skews older in terms of the group of people that are in there, because they're like retired. And So that's kind of been a theme in my life, is like people being surprised that I'm a fan of Jimmy Buffett. So that's like one of my favorite concert memories. And then I unfortunately, like honestly, haven't been to as many concerts as I would like, because I grew up in Oregon. He like didn't really come to that's Oregon right. that often.
You got to go down to California.
Yeah, which like we like didn't do that. So it wasn't until I moved here that, so I think I went to like two concerts my whole life. So when I lived in Oregon before I moved to Arizona, which is where I live now. And so since I've been here, like I've gone to shows in Phoenix. I've been to the Vegas show, which that was quite something. Yeah. So that's probably like the Phoenix show, you know, is just like kind of a regular show. The Vegas show is a lot of, it's like a more of like a thing, right? Because there's like, you're in Vegas, so that's a thing. Right. And then, you know, there's always like pre-parties, and I mean, not that there's not pre-parties and tailgating and whatever, but I've never been to a really great tailgate venue. Like all the venues I've been to have been indoors, not like a big outdoor arena with like a parking lot and whatever. So I'd like to do that someday, but yeah, going to Vegas.
You know,
yeah,
gotta come south. Great right. tailgates in Charlotte, Tampa.
Someday I'll come down there.
Atlanta, okay, right. I have a couple of friends who would hate me if I didn't mention this. Probably the best tailgate, one of the best two or three up there was Cincinnati, obviously. What's the joint in Wisconsin? Alpine, Alpine Valley.
Yeah, Alpine's a big one.
Radical tailgate over there. A couple of friends of mine would want me to mention. So yeah, you gotta come over to the south or Cincinnati or Alpine and do some good tailgating. When
someday.
It's time.
It's on my concert bucket. I mean, hopefully Jimmy Buffett will still be doing concerts for many more years because I have a lot of bucket list related things related to concerts. But yeah, the Vegas one is like really its own unique thing, you know, like I think some people tend to look down on anything that's not in like an outdoor amphitheater because that is sort of what people think of as like the best venue. I feel like, at least I know when the Phoenix venues got changed from, they were in an outdoor amphitheater for a really long time. And then, once again, that was before my time. And then since I've been here and been going to shows, they've always been inside, but, and everybody like always gripes about how they're not in like the outdoor amphitheater anymore. So I guess that's better, but the Vegas show, despite being in an indoor arena, is just, it's the show itself is actually, I think, maybe even shorter than some of his other concerts, but there's just so many other things going on. It's just, yeah, it's a great time for sure. I recommend it.
Big time. Adam, maybe we'll make a trip out there this year by October. Maybe things will be cleared up, which is usually when he plays Vegas. And we'll go out there and do a little podcasting from Vegas.
Man, that's got to happen. That's got to go down. Anyway, Aaliyah, I just noticed your t-shirt. That's probably my favorite t-shirt in my closet right now.
It's a good one.
It's the 1974 Crustacean Tour t-shirt. I think it was the acoustic tour or something, 74 acoustic tour. But anyway, with that being said, you said as a kid people were looking at you as fellow parent heads or whatever. You know, you're too young to be a Jimmy Buffett fan or what have you. Still to this day, though, what are some of the frustrations for you when you get, you know, you tell people that Jimmy's your guy? I'm sure some of the frustrations are similar to that of mine and Hank when they're like, oh, the guy that sings about cheeseburgers or margaritas. What's kind of your response to that?
Yeah, that's a good question because I feel like when I talk to people about Jimmy Buffett, I get one of two responses. Either it's people, I'm talking about like maybe people I don't know, right? Yeah. Because my friends in the Parrothead world like would never, I don't know, like look down on me or whatever.
They're not dogging James.
But sometimes when I meet other people in the Parrothead world, they're like, oh, you're too young to know to like Jimmy Buffett. Like, what do you know? Like, there's, I think, like this judgment about the fact that how could I possibly know anything about Jimmy Buffett? And I just want to be like, I probably know a lot more about Jimmy Buffett than you. Right. But I don't say that because that's rude. So that's like the response I get a lot from strangers in the Buffett community. And I'm sure as I get older, that will get less. The older I look, the less people will be like, you don't know anything about Jimmy Buffett. And then from people who don't know or like Jimmy Buffett, it's like, right, like you said, it's kind of just like, oh, the guy who did Margaritaville. Like, people don't know the extent of Jimmy's catalog. And most people I think most people know who Jimmy Buffett is, but they know him as like the guy who did Margaritaville, maybe the guy who did Cheeseburger in Paradise, and oh, wasn't he in that Jurassic Park movie?
Right. Didn't he grab
That's
his
like
margaritas
how people know
before
Jimmy
he ran
Buffett.
Away?
Yeah.
Yeah. Classic move. Gotta get both
song.
The margaritas.
He no did doubt. That song with Alan Jackson.
That the margarita grab really reminds me of how I would probably react if dinosaurs were coming. I've replayed this in my head. There are some options here, right? I don't know if I would hammer one of the margaritas and run with only one of them, run with both of them, or just get up and run away, drink them both. And if there are actual dinosaurs coming, you can't really get away, right? Might as well enjoy a couple margaritas and watch the show. A lot of options. James yeah. grabbed them both and ran away. But you're right. He seems to get a lot of notoriety from that scene for some reason.
Yeah. And I feel like you have to have a lot of practice running to not spill them too. So that's like a skill maybe.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with Jimmy Buffett, but I just want to tell this story if that's okay on this podcast because it's like the most epic thing I've ever seen related to not spilling drinks. One time, my husband and some friends and I were at Disneyland. And if you've ever been to Disneyland, there's like this like sort of trail, like ropes course thing that's like kind of for kids. You go through and there's like rope walkways and different things you can go on. And one time we were there and it was super rainy. So there was like nobody in it. So we were just, and whenever we go to Disney, this is in California Adventure at Disneyland, which you can drink in California Adventure, and they actually have really good beer and yeah. cocktail options. So
similar to Epcot over here on the East Coast.
Yeah. So we were like several beers deep and like doing this like ropes course. And my friend Ashley slips and falls. It's rainy, so everything's wet. Slips and falls in the middle of one of these like rope slanted rope tunnels, full flat on her back, and does not spill nary a drop of her beer. Like, I do not know. It was like the most epic thing I've ever
seen.
She just
was the
falls.
Beer in a bottle?
No, it was in a cup, in a like a plastic cup, and it was like mostly full, and she fell full on her back and didn't spill any of it. And I just like gotta give props to that, because that is the most epic. Like, it wasn't at a party, but like if you had been at a party, you would be like god of that party.
Incredible. How long ago was that?
That was like just a couple years ago.
Well, just barely pre-TikTok. She could have been she could have been famous, you know, if she would have just waited. But
if
that's
only.
Big time.
I mean, I don't think she planned it, but yeah.
Sorry,
I know that was a tangent, but just talking about like trying to run with holding drinks just made me think of that, and it's so good.
No, all good. You're the star of the show tonight. You know what I mean? We don't get a lot of famous podcasters on our
okay,
show.
First of all, I'm not famous. So. Second of all, I don't like... You said talk about me having like heavy hitters on my podcast, but I mean, like Dan had Delaney on before I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Adam and I have talked about that. We're going to try to get Delaney. We've got some big hopes and dreams, culminating obviously
really nice.
In the man himself, James. Which is a question sometimes we ask some people. If you had the opportunity to do a Zoom or a podcast, or you met James, mm-hmm. How do you think the first minute or two of that would go? Do you think you'd be able to get some words out right away? If so, what do you think you'd say?
Well, I would say, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know what the first thing I would say would be. The thing I would want was just to, is just like hear him tell me stories about his life, because he just has so many stories. So that would be hopefully what I would get to, is like, tell me your top three stories, or like, tell me a story that like you've never told, you know, in a song or in a book or something. Cause I'm sure he has plenty. I have like technically met him and said a word to him in real life, but there wasn't really the opportunity for a conversation. So
yeah.
I'm not really sure. I probably would just say like, you and your work like have really meant a lot to me in my life. Like, if I could just tell him one thing, that would probably it, because that is true. It's very has had a very big impact on my life, and not just because I have a podcast.
Right. No, I get it. Adam and I have talked about that, and we go back and forth on how long it would take either of us to get the first word out. You know, I'm a big public speaker. I'm a weird cat that actually enjoys speaking in public. The only time I've ever been nervous at all talking, I've done a wedding before, like presiding over a wedding. And when the bride walks down the aisle and stops and is staring at your face 24 inches away and the music's over and everyone's waiting on you to talk, that was hard. You know, the first word or two was difficult. As I imagine it would be if James was staring at my face, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think if somehow I ever managed to have him on the pot, on my, like a planned appearance on my podcast, I feel like I would somehow be like surprisingly cool about it, even though inside I'd be freaking out because I'd be like, be professional, you know? So yeah. I'd probably like have like some questions planned and like try to act all smooth, but inside I would be freaking out for sure.
If you had him on as a guest and it was pre-planned, would you allow Adam and I to be guest featured hosts for the week?
I'm going to tell you right now, you would just be selfish. Just soak that in. I can't even. I would have trouble living with myself knowing we took that away. Like, just do it.
Not me. I'm selfish.
I feel like it'd be really funny if he showed up and there were just like 10 other people on the call. Be like, oh yeah, don't mind all these other people. They just also have podcasts.
Yeah, it's all good. Adam and Hank are good hangs. Don't worry about it.
We're all going to send it out on our individual feed.
So I honestly like don't think not because I think Jimmy Buffett's a really good guy, but he just like has a lot going. Like I don't really have dreams of him ever being on the podcast. I mean, like, yeah. Yes, like a dream of, but like realistically, I don't think he's ever going to be on my podcast. And you know, I'm fine with that.
Same here, unfortunately. But you know what? That's all right. I think equally as cool would be if he could listen to us. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you got his next of kin, so that's pretty cool there. So, Aaliyah, something that we had talked about, obviously previously to this episode, were I asked some of your favorite albums and I was shocked at how similar my top five list was and probably your top five list was. Mm. I think, and I've heard you talk about this on your show a few times before about how, you know, a lot of the albums that were released during your formative years are your favorite, but I just started listening to Jimmy about 4 or 5 years ago, and there's something special about those albums other than just, you know, them being during your coming of age years. Why don't you share some of those favorite albums with the listeners right now?
Sure. Yeah. So now I can't even remember which ones I told you. It was probably Off to See the Lizard, which was the first album I ever really remember listening to. I had it on a cassette tape. I listened to it on my Walkman. Yeah.
I am old enough to remember Walkmans. Adam, honestly, may not be. He's like 8 years younger than us. He may not remember Walkmans.
He knows
Adam.
What it looks like, though.
I do we know what it looks like.
Back in our day, we used to have to carry around a cassette tape player, like a mobile cassette tape player. It was
so old. Yep. And then, you know, we graduated to the digital, like the CD Walkman.
Discman.
Discman. Yeah. I actually was kind of thinking about looking to see if I could find like an old Walkman, like just on eBay or something. And I think it'd be kind of fun, you know, like, yeah, you can listen to music on your phone, but sometimes you just don't want so many options. You know, you just want to pick like the tape that you want to listen to and like put it in your Walkman. I don't know. Maybe that's just nostalgia, but sounds pretty good. Sometimes it's very overwhelming to have, like, especially with Jimmy Buffett, because there's so many albums. Right. You get like, oh, well, what album do I want to listen to? I don't even know. And then you just get overwhelmed because they're all good.
Adam is so good at that, listening to albums, you know, like, but back in the day, people used to put out albums that made sense together. It wasn't like one banger and then a bunch of stuff they had to fill in, you know, it was like people put out, you know, actual albums that that made sense together. Adam's really good at like listening to albums as they come.
Yeah, well, I think. Oh, go ahead, Adam.
Oh, sorry. I'm fortunate enough to have everything Jimmy's released on vinyl, as far as like studio albums and compilations, stuff like that. And what he didn't release, like probably, yeah, three albums that are in my top five are is a stretch of Fruitcakes, Barometer Soup, and Banana Wind. And I've heard you talk about those too and how much you enjoy those, Aaliyah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just having the hard copy of them, I get such a kick out of, whether it is the vinyl or even the CD, throwing them on either the CD player or the record player and sitting there reading the liner notes while I'm listening to it. And it's not, I'm not as good about listening to the whole album through, Hank, with every artist, but when you have so many good records start to finish by Jimmy, it is like I can just throw a dart, you know, at my record collection. And normally I'm not allowed. Now, if I land on Don't Stop the Carnival or something, I might throw it again. But
hey, now, Don't Stop the Carnival is great, and I will defend it.
Wow. That one is really polarizing. You know what I mean? Even amongst like big Jimmy Buffett fans.
There are some really good songs on there. As a whole, it's, I don't know, it's tough.
I'm a really big musical fan too, okay, though. Makes so sense. The fact that like it is a musical and a whole story and stuff. Oh, yeah. And also that came out at like pretty formative time for me. You know, it was like listening to that. And then like, also I listened to like Phantom of the Opera a lot. So, nice. So yeah, so see, I think that.
Did you go see Jimmy Buffett's musical, his latest one?
No. So I really wanted to, and it was in like Hollywood, like at a venue in Hollywood at a time where we were going to Disneyland, but we just like, could, I don't know if you've been to LA, but like even just to get from like Anaheim where Disneyland is to like downtown is, or like the Hollywood area is like, it feels like a whole thing. So like we would have had to probably stay at a different hotel there, and like we just couldn't add it on to the trip. So I haven't been, unfortunately. I was hoping to go maybe another time, but then, you know, COVID
pandemic.com, you know.
Yep, for sure,
no doubt. And I so but, go ahead, Adam.
So we got a little derailed there.
but sorry, I'm a tangent person. No,
that's 100% fine. But and part of it was my fault talking about my vinyl records and all that stuff. But obviously, you know, you said off to see the lizard. Would you maybe, you know, say you have to only listen to one record for the next 2 weeks? Which one are you taking? Are you taking Off to See the Lizard, or is it one of those from the 90s?
So actually right now probably would be Barometer Soup, which is also in one of my top favorites. And honestly, Adam, like when we were talking about it before, I didn't add Banana Wind because I'd already said like every other album that came out in that sort of same time right. frame. And I was like, I should probably go with a couple of my favorite older albums too. But Banana Wind is also, I really love the album too. But yeah, so probably Barometer Soup, and it's because right now, so I feel like my favorite, you know, I don't have like one top favorite album all the time. I'm a very like seasonal person. So it's kind of like, how am I feeling right now? And like, what vibe do I want to be in? What mood do I want to be mm-hmm. in? And Barometer Soup is really just like super mellow. It's like my rainy day album, but also right now because it's winter, right? It's kind of more of like a like low key. I mean, I say that, but it's like in the 70s and 80s here. So it's like not really winter, but for us, it's winter. You know, it's not 100 degrees. And so that's like what I'm like, just like what I'm feeling right now is like, that's one of my favorite albums anyway. But also if I had to pick one to listen to like for the next month, it would probably be Barometer Soup.
Likewise, my favorite 2 or 3 weeks ago was Fruitcakes. Right now it's Barometer Soup. And I would say 52 weeks in a year, probably 40 of them, my favorite is Barometer Soup. And
that's a good one.
Being an English teacher and knowing how literature inspired that album so much has always been a really cool thing to me as well. So, yeah.
Wow, I did not know that.
It's really cool to hear somebody else give Barometer Soup some love. I'm always posting about that in the group on Facebook, and someone posted in there the other day, why does no one talk about Barometer Soup ever? It's a great album. And I had to comment in all caps. I literally post about it weekly. It's my favorite album.
Maybe I've commented on some of your posts before, like we knew who each other was, because there's definitely been some posts in the group where it was about Barometer Soup and I was like, yes, this album is so good and underrated.
Yeah, probably so, and we just didn't put the two together, but oh man, I'm so glad to hear that. In fact, yeah. It's that's what's up on my phone right now. I was listening to it before we went on air. So
Adam, I love how you ride for Barometer Soup, like every time. You're like, I love your consistency in riding.
Man, like it just, I want more people to dive in. Like there's not a weak track on there.
I'm going to have to be a bigger fan, you know, of Barometer Soup. Not to say that I'm not a fan. I don't know that I'd put it top five because I love the older stuff. It's hard if you think chronologically through his albums and say name a top five. I don't know how you get out of the 80s and haven't picked five unbelievable records at that point, you know? So that's the hard thing for me. And even if you only pick four, you still got to get past Fruitcakes to get to Barometer Soup. You know? So
this is the problem, every album is so good.
It is.
In terms of older albums, Coconut, Telegraph, and Havana Daydreamin' are probably, I mean, they're all really good, but like if I had to pick a couple of the older albums that are like, just like because they have some of my favorite songs on there, it would probably be those two. Coconut Telegraph, like top to bottom, is a super solid album. Like so every song on there is so good.
I enjoy Havana Daydreaming so much because I think about Hemingway and Key West, which I, you know, I would guess the song was designed for. But I really could see like just hanging out in an old room in Havana, Cuba, pre-revolution, obviously. You know, cigar smoke swirled the air like that. I mean, you could just see it. You know what I mean? Like you could, of James's ability to transport you to a time and place. To me, that album, but also that song specifically captures the essence of that Havana Daydreaming more than anything else, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So rightfully so, on Coconut Telegraph, Incommunicado gets a lot of love and I love Incommunicado. But again, why does nobody talk about The Good Fight? Like The Good Fight, I wanted that song so bad on the Songs You Don't Know by Heart.
That's a good one. Yeah, it's hard. The Songs You Don't Know by Heart thing is like, there are so many good songs that you want to be on there.
I wish you would do like 10 volumes of that.
Now, Aaliyah, when you had Delaney on the Blame It on Buffett podcast, and again, our guest tonight, host of the Blame It on Buffett podcast, when you had Delaney on, did you guys get a chance to chat about potentially a second rendition of Songs You Don't Know by Heart?
I think, honestly, I don't remember exactly. But I think what happened was I was like, this is really great and I love it. And maybe there will be more. Will there be more? Like, I can't remember exactly if I asked a specific question, but I feel like she did say like that everybody really enjoyed doing it. And it definitely would be a thing that, like, if Jimmy has time, because the only reason that happened is because the pandemic and like he wasn't not that he wasn't doing anything, he's still Jimmy Buffett, but you know, he wasn't touring, so he kind of had some free time. And but like she said, like that he, I think, hopefully I'm not misquoting her now, I don't remember for sure, but I'm pretty sure she implied that like everybody like really liked doing that and that Jimmy would maybe be willing to do more if it worked out in terms of timing and stuff. So I don't think they have like an official plan specifically right now. But also, and I'm not saying that this is just what I'm saying. I'm not saying that this is why they would do it, because I don't think it is. But like they can make so much money if they just kept like Jimmy fans are gonna buy every new compilation album that comes out like that, because I mean, for I sure. know I bought the CD and the vinyl, so.
And that's a good point. I know that I always worry about like, I hope Jimmy's got enough money, you know what I mean? Like I worry about,
like he really needs the money. I know.
Yeah, it's just, I worry about this, does he have enough money, you know? So
that's I'm not saying that's why they did it, but sure, like also if they wanted to keep making a lot of money, they could keep doing this, and I think they would make money off of it.
One of the things that's really cool, I think, right, is you think about that record. To me, I think Delaney and Jimmy enjoyed doing that. Like you mentioned, they said other people enjoyed doing it. One of the things I appreciate so much about James, he says in a recording of one of his songs, it maybe is a live recording of Last Mango in Paris. I don't know. But he talks about how at this time he had never won any awards for any of his music. But when you have fans like Parrotheads, it doesn't matter to him. And to me, right, I got the vibe that a lot of what he did with that album, I think he knows there are people of us out there that, like, we want to hear that stuff from him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's going to go play those 12 or 14 songs, you know, next time he plays a big amphitheater show, because he's unbelievable about playing the stuff, you know, a lot of the audience wants to hear. I love Margaritaville, but I've heard it 35 times now in concert. And so it'd be cool if I'm fine if I didn't, right? But to hear some of those songs kind of redone and remade, and to hear them in concert, there, you know, there are a lot of those of us out there that, I don't know, I think his legacy and who he will be as an artist, not just a musician, but as an artist, and how we'll always view him, means a lot to him. You know, that maybe was a piece of that legacy that he's starting to, you know, build. Not to say he's done, though. Definitely hoping he's not done.
Yeah. I think, I mean, it did seem, and I think Delaney said this too, that, like, he also really enjoyed doing it because he, like, reconnected with and relearned some of these songs that he hadn't played in forever. And I loved in the videos when they'd be like, how many, you know, like, when do you think you last played the song, or like, how many times have you played the song? And they, you know, have looked up the stats or whatever on it, and he would be like surprised that he'd only played it 5 times in his whole career, you know, live, obviously.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, she said that, like, I think meant a lot to him too, to kind of reconnect and be able to tell some of the stories behind these songs. So I definitely think that if the timing is right, they would certainly be likely to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Let me ask you this. You and Adam chatted up quite a bit about the albums. Are mine and Adam's list constantly evolve? And Adam, I'd be interested if, you know what we need to start doing at the end of every episode. We're terrible, like we said, we're terrible podcasters. You're way better than us. What we need to do is have maybe like a segment where we do our top 4 Buffett songs for the week. Because we always ask our guests. A couple weeks ago, we had a married couple on here. We gave them 5 songs because we don't want to give them an easy route, and they both picked 2. You know what I mean? So we gave them 5. But usually we go 3 or 4. But what's your, if you had to pick 4 songs, right? If you're going to a deserted island, set the scene there. Deserted island, just you got a record player, and you can play, like, let's say 4 songs or whatever. What 4 songs are you picking?
Well, I think right now, this is like a right now, right? Not like your top 4 songs ever kind of
totally,
thing.
Totally, because like we always talk about it, if you would have caught me at 1:30 p.m. today, it would have been entirely different than what I would probably tell you right now.
Yeah. Okay, great. I think anyone who says that, like, they have one single favorite Jimmy Buffett album, or like they could name their top 5 favorite Jimmy Buffett songs and it would just be the same thing all the time forever, I think those people are a liar. 'Cause 100%. Either that, or they're just like really committed, because there are so many options. I just don't see how you could never feel differently sometimes that you would want to listen to something more than those, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's funny that you guys chose 4. I don't know, do you either of you listen to other like trop rock musicians much at all, or I know not everyone who listens to Jimmy listens to other trop rock, so it's totally fine if you don't. I just am curious.
Yeah, I'm not against it, you know what I mean? I wouldn't, if God willing, sometime April or May, I'm you know, shuffling down Duval and I hear some random cat playing. Actually, you know, there's actually a little bit trop rocky band, but they're out of Charlotte, North Carolina, actually, called Simplified. You ever heard of them?
Oh, no, I haven't.
They've got some jams in specific called Island Time, one of my favorites. But, you know, maybe a little bit, but I know your podcast is unbelievable with trop rock and all the other artists. Man, admittedly, I have not gotten as into, I'm not against it, I just have not gotten as into the trop rock. You're talking to a couple of North Carolina guys, so I probably tend to hedge more towards like maybe Zach Brown, Kenny Chesney, more of the country inspired new age trap rock as opposed to the hardcore, like trap rock, like Key West type stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And there's a lot of musicians that sort of are part of the trap rock crowd that are very like country. I don't know. Have you ever heard of Mike Nash? Oh, you might like him. He's got like kind of a country vibe.
I've heard of Jesse Rice.
Yeah. I'd actually, I've definitely heard Jesse Rice's music, but I don't know him as well as some of the others. Anyway, the reason that I ask another tangent is that one of the trap rock radio stations, Radio Trap Rock, has a show called 4 at 4 with Gina Babin, who's like one of the owners of the station. And it's like every Friday, I think at 4 p.m., she plays her top favorite 4 songs from the week. So that was just what I was asking, because it's like the 4 thing, like that's not a thing you hear a lot. Usually it's like 5, I think. So I was just curious if you had heard about that before, because it's kind of the same thing where she's like, I don't have the same favorite every week at all. So like every week I'm gonna pick my favorites for that week. So
I think Adam came up with the 4, but I'll tell you, I'm an even number guy anyway. So I'm more apt to land on 4. So it's really worked out for us, Adam. You know,
I came up with the 4 because a lot of times you'll see artists these days release like a 4-song EP or whatever. Mm-hmm. So instead of asking someone to do like their Buffett Essentials 10-song album, I just figured like a Buffett, your favorite 4 EP to take with you for the next month or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Cool. That totally makes sense. Yeah, it's kind of nice actually that like you guys are doing this and podcasting in Paradise, and then, you know, Dan doing the classic Buffett, because like my podcast isn't really, I mean, it definitely is inspired by Jimmy Buffett, and there's a lot of stuff about Jimmy Buffett, but it's not just about Jimmy Buffett.
Right.
So it's kind of nice, you know, to really just have more like Jimmy Buff, because like I think like what I'm doing is definitely different than like what you guys are doing, you know. So
yeah.
There's definitely like room out there, I think, for different things happening for sure.
Well, you and I'll say Podcast in Paradise, you guys cover way more ground, right? Adam and I tend to stay James centric. You know, not that we don't have other things to offer, you know, Adam Capps, scratch golfer. I'm sure I could think of something else I'm good at. It's not on the tip of my tongue right now.
You're a great dad. You're a wonderful dad.
You know, so far, my almost 5-month-old is still alive, which is the metric of success,
great.
You know. But man, I'll tell you, there are some folks, you're right, who are Jimmy Buffett podcasts that cover a lot more ground. And you're one of them. You do a great job at that.
Thanks. Yeah, I actually, so I'm going to admit something right now that I feel bad about. I don't actually listen to a lot of podcasts.
I
really want to support you guys and all the other podcasters, but like I almost never listen to podcasts. I just like use all my podcast energy to make the podcast.
Yeah.
So I probably like won't like listen to every episode of every other Jimmy Buffett podcast, even though like you guys are great and I love Jimmy Buffett, just because like in my life I used to walk to work and have a job where like I could really listen to podcasts a lot, and I just don't have that situation anymore, and so I just like don't listen to them. So I'm very sorry to say that I have not listened yet to the Podcasting in Paradise podcast. So they do other stuff besides just Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, you know, they like do album reviews, and hey, I appreciate your candor. It's like we're not done talking yet, but like if this were the end of a first date, that was a very nice like I don't want to see you again.
But I want, you know, to talk to you in person. I just like don't listen to things. No, like I listen to music while I'm doing, it's either listening
to
Jimmy Buffett
to say
or listening to a
screen.
Podcast.
Yeah, no, I get it. I have like a 35 to 45 minute drive to work depending on when I leave and what route I take and that kind of thing. I listened to the Podcasting in Paradise because they mentioned us, and I'll tell you, I think of myself as a witty guy. They're dry, they're witty. I enjoy listening to the talk. I liked your podcast. You're an easy listening podcast. I enjoyed it. You have a great podcast voice. It is very
well. Now you're just making me feel bad that I haven't listened to anybody else's podcast.
But I'll tell you, I haven't listened to all yours though, so it's all good. You know, there's plenty of time. You know,
he didn't even listen to the one with Delaney. So
you're not obligated to listen to any of them.
Right. I get it. So I'll say that. I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll go back maybe, Adam, and we'll look after this and see what our 4 songs were. Maybe I think it was our first podcast we did that. I'll come with 4 more right now that are on my mind that are my top four right now.
Okay. All right. I do have four too. I just got
after Aaliyah. After Aaliyah gives us her four.
Real quick, I want to add this. Aaliyah, you were talking about not listening to many podcasts. Mm-hmm. Dan, I actually have become good friends with Dan as well. And he texted me yesterday or the day before. I can't remember when it was, Hank. But he was finally getting around. He said, this is like the second podcast I've ever listened to in my life. And I was like, well, first of all, thank you for listening. Then he said, but tell Hank I'm 35. Because Hank had implied he was an over 40 victim. Oh.
Well, listen, the dude lives in Key West.
He's an old soul.
Yeah,
the dude lives in Key West. And like, you know, like Jiminy Cricket's, not a lot of 35-year-olds hanging out down in Key West full-time living. Like, good
that
for him.
Dude. That guy figured out. In fact, I heard him talking about on your podcast, Aaliyah, about that book he bought. I had to go buy that book myself, so I got to see, you know, what he's doing right.
Yeah, no, he's got it dialed in for sure. Living in Key West, and if it makes anybody feel better, I barely listened to his podcast, and he and I are like friends. So, I just feel bad now that I have admitted that in person, but I just like. I love everybody's podcast and I want them to do it and it's great, but I'm probably not going to listen to every episode and I apologize.
That's all right. If we have a particularly fire episode, I'll
shoot you a message. Let me know.
And be like, hey, you should check this one out. This one,
when we have our most recent Twitter follower, Nadira Shakur on, we'll let you know.
Okay, good.
I want to have Nadira on for sure.
But she doesn't follow mine. Actually, I don't even know. I don't. Listen, sometimes I don't go on Twitter for a very long time, so same, I don't think, you know, she does though.
That was potentially the biggest moment to date in our podcast was her following us.
She is rad.
Second biggest, having a fellow famous Jimmy Buffett podcaster on our podcast. Blame it on Buffett with Aaliyah Moore.
Now you're just trying to make me feel bad.
Great podcast. So let's do a quick four, and I'm gonna give four songs too because I'm super interested for posterity.
Let's move this along, Aaliyah.
No.
We gotta go. Time is money.
I'm interested in maybe 5 years to look back and say, I wonder how many songs total we're gonna have different guests as well as ourselves list over the course of however long we do this podcast, right? Because that would be a great testament to the depth of James's greatness.
Yeah. And I can guarantee that if I was on this podcast every week, it would be different for sure. Like it changes like frequently, if, like whatever songs I would like really want to listen to. So
are you going to listen to the podcast you're on? Like, are you going to go listen to this one?
No, definitely not. I don't even listen to my own podcast I like barely edit my podcast at all.
I edit
like the intro song. Cause that's like a separate piece of music, and I like have a little intro, and so I edit the music in between that and the interview, but I have never edited anything out of an interview. I've never even listened through to make sure that like there's no horrible like static, or I just assume somebody will tell me if there's like a terrible sound
same
problem
here. Edit free zone. The only thing I've told Adam is pay attention, and if I say something that you think may get me fired, let me know so we can listen to it before we put it out.
Okay,
that's my only rule.
That's important, you know? For sure. Yeah. I definitely am just like a wing it kind of person. Like, we'll edit that out. No, I'm not going to edit that. No, we won't.
This is not a professional podcast.
No, mine isn't for sure. All right. My four songs.
All right, here we go.
I thought because I knew this question was coming, so I had thought about it. Yeah. And it's kind of proceeding in the vein of like none of them are from Barometer Soup, but like in that sort of mellow, right? Like the vibe I'm in right now. Mm-hmm. My four songs would be Cowboy in the Jungle.
We get that one a lot.
It's a good song.
It is
a good song. King of Somewhere Hot.
King. Yeah.
And you gotta have like one banger in there, and this is a song that I could listen to over and over, and it just like is like such a jam. Stranded on a Sandbar.
Oh, nice.
Which appropriate if you're gonna be on a desert island.
Yeah. 100%.
And then anyone who knows me will not be surprised to know that number four is Something So Feminine About a Mandolin.
Very good. I think Adam likes that one a lot.
Yeah, it's a great one.
It's a good one.
Those are good. you know, and I'll be honest, those are a couple in there we may not have otherwise heard. King of Somewhere Hot, Bobby G does a great version of that on the old steel pans sometimes in concert during the old interlude, you know. Mm-hmm. My 2021 project was to play, or 2020 and 2021 was to learn how to play the steel drums. I played some drums growing up, and I wanted to learn how to play the steel drums. Instead, we had a pandemic and I had a child. So here we go. Not doing that quite yet.
Not doing that yet.
But I've always,
yeah, that song is so good. Like, it's probably in my top favorite songs, like at any given time. I love that song.
That's a great call. Question about Cowboy in the Jungle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a cheroot is?
Yeah, it's like a long, thin cigarette.
Had no idea. Like, like maybe what you would see Cruella de Vil smoking. On 101 Dalmatians.
No, I think she smokes a regular cigarette, but it's in a cigarette holder.
Okay.
Which is what makes it long. A cheroot is like, it's actually, I think, like a mini cigar. Someone's probably going to, I don't know, do you guys like get comments or like corrections? Because someone's going to yell at me about this. I think it might actually be like a really thin, small cigar, not a large cigarette.
God, I have, yeah, we get a ton of comments. In fact, I had... you know, you can email us at under40pod@gmail.com. And I've had one person that I already know who's emailed us. So we get some, you know, a lot of feedback on our personal stuff, but thankfully nobody correcting us. And here's the deal. If someone is a little bit upset over our definition of cheroot, that's okay. You know, no big deal.
Do you guys post on like YouTube or anything, or do you mostly just get feedback on in email? Like, where do you get comments mostly?
Email and social media, like a lot of social media messages and those kind of things. Like, I think Adam is generally such a likable person. People don't want to call him out publicly, right? And so they tend to message he and I. I think we've said one thing wrong, but Adam caught it before our guest could. But I forget what it was, Adam.
Yeah, you said there was a vinyl copy of Banana Wind, and I was like, dude, I've searched high and low.
Like, there is not.
There is not one of those.
I'm still telling you, I think there is. I'm going to ask somebody about that in the next couple
of
days.
Let me tell you something. Find it and steal it if you find that. You can tell Aaliyah might be a bigger parrot head than us because she knows more about what to smoke.
I don't – that is not accurate. I am kind of – well, I've never smoked anything that's like a tobacco product before, so mm-hmm. like a pretty big square. But yeah, I think it is like a thin, like small cigar.
This may be
it's the thing you smoke. I know that for sure.
This may be the soberest Jimmy Buffett podcast, soberest group, because Adam does not indulge in the alcohol.
Never you had a not, drink in my life.
You wow, do not that's touch impressive. Tobacco products. No. That alone sets us apart, you know.
Yeah, I definitely like some drinks though, like beer sure. and wine and all of the cocktails.
Oh, yeah. I'll admit I was a social smoker for a little while in college, and I quit that quickly when I started dating my wife because she literally, in another life, must have been a bloodhound. Because I remember very clearly when we were in law school, we started dating, and she was gone for a weekend. And I think I smoked a cigarette with a friend of mine. We were studying together as law school on like Saturday around lunchtime. She got back, Tara got back to town Sunday at dinner, came over to my apartment and immediately asked if I had smoked a cigarette, which was unbelievable. And so I had a couple cigarettes in law school with a couple of bad influences there. But you guys, man, you're just carrying the dare torch, you know?
Well, and now Jimmy has, you know, the Coral Reefer brand.
That's right.
That he has released. So that's also a thing for people if they're
yeah,
into that.
Yeah. If you're into that's right. If that's your deal, there you go. Let's see. Four songs, Adam. Do you mind, Adam, if I list them out? I want to put myself on the spot.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Because I want to get this back. And Aaliyah, tell us your thoughts on these.
Okay.
Jollymon is... big for me right now. Introduced my son to that one tonight. Mm-hmm. We have a mellow Jimmy Buffett playlist we listen to during bath time and bottle. It used to be lullabies, Jimmy Buffett lullabies, but you know, he's almost 5 months. It's time to grow up, you know? So we go with the actual Jimmy Buffett music now.
Does your wife like Jimmy Buffett too?
Great question. She was familiar with James when we started dating, and has fallen head over heels for him and his music, as I have, as she's become more familiar with it since her and I have dated and been married. So she is a fan, has accompanied me with great patience all over our country going to see James in concert, which I'm thankful for. So yeah, she's a pretty big fan. How about your husband? Big fan?
No.
How about that?
We're in the same boat. We're in the same boat.
Yeah, he is not, he doesn't hate Jimmy Buffett. He likes to pretend like he does because he likes to make fun of me. But he's not like a huge fan. He did recently say that he would, because I've been trying to learn to play the ukulele and stuff, and he's a really good musician already. And he was like, you know, if you want, like, I could learn like a Jimmy Buffett song and we could play it together. And I was like,
that
yes.
is awesome.
So I, you know, was like, I think you would like some of the older, right? Some of the people who think they don't like Jimmy Buffett haven't heard a lot of the older stuff, because sure. it's very different. So I like was like, you should maybe listen to, you know, some of these older albums, check out these songs. And there were some that he was like, oh yeah, like I feel like I'm more on board with this than just the general Jimmy Buffett. So I'm like slowly, yeah. But he's just like not a huge, right? Like part of the reason, and I don't know if it's like a, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg. I don't know if I like all the tropical things because I like Jimmy Buffett, or if that's like a vibe that I just already would have loved in my life. And that's why I like Jimmy Buffett, but he's not really super big into, I mean, he's happy to go to like a tropical location, but that's not like his ideal, like if he could do anything with his time, right? Like I'm like, if I could do anything with my time, I would like go to the Caribbean.
Right. 100%.
But that's like not his like top thing. So I think there's like sort of a tie in there, because like the escapism of the music is kind of, I think, especially appealing to people who also have other escapism dreams in their life. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but actually the shirt that I'm wearing, I wanted the baseball tee, and they didn't have it in my size by the time I got around to buying it. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And I asked him, and he was like, oh, he's like, that baseball tee. He's like, I would actually wear that. So I bought him. So he has a Jimmy Buffett shirt now that he will wear. So I think it goes to show that the old style, the classic style, the classic Buffett music is maybe more appealing to people who think they don't like Jimmy Buffett.
You're wearing them down. You know?
I'm wearing them down.
And listen, I'm with you. Like, I'm not sure how someone could listen to, let's say, the second side of A1A, you know, or a lot of songs off maybe Son of a Sailor, and even later, like Last Man, one of my favorite four songs that I tonight have a goal for myself that I will not name a song off One Particular Harbor, which is my favorite Jimmy Buffett album. Arguably two of my favorite top five songs, Distantly in Love and One Particular Harbor on that album. I'm not entirely sure how you play some of that stuff, like Distantly in Love, for anyone, and they think, no, that's trash. You know, I don't understand that.
12 volt man.
You know, yeah, right.
I think some of it is like, some of the albums, especially like the newer you get, the production. Like, I think he thinks like there's just a lot of production. Like, I think when he hears like an acoustic version of a song, he's like, oh yeah, this is like pretty good. But like all the production that's on the albums, like that's not his thing as much. So
what is your husband's name?
Dan,
if you and Aaliyah listen to this,
not together. Classic Buffett Dan, that's a different,
right.
Dan.
Different Dan. Who you mentioned as a friend.
I have two Dans.
Nice. Husband Dan, husband, if you Dan. Hear this, do this. Read A Good Life All the Way. It's a book about the early Key West years. Understand the context and the vibe of Key West at the time, who Jimmy was, what he kind of, his life was about at that time, and those things. And then go listen to the early three Key West albums and Havana Daydreaming. I would tell anybody who doesn't think they're a Jimmy Buffett fan to do that. But then again, my wife and I we're like you guys, Adam and Aaliyah. I don't know that you need five toes. And so if I had to give a middle toe up to to just go lay on the beach in the Caribbean for a month right now, no worries. I'd be thrilled to do that. And my wife is the same way. Tara and I both adore the beach. We're big beach people. So maybe that is our vibe. Maybe that's why we love it so much, because you talk about it some on your podcast, Blame It on Buffett podcast. Jimmy talks about it a lot, right? Escapism is a big thing, right? I mean, life is weird for all of us, right? You're starting a new job. I got a new kid. Adam's a teacher. God knows what they're going through.
my husband actually used to be an English teacher, high school English teacher.
Very cool.
Before, very cool. And now he's a brewer.
I love it.
Okay.
I don't know if that says something about how hard it is to be a teacher that he gave it up to make alcohol.
Well, it's definitely different in COVID times. I'll say I can't complain too much, because my wife is one of those real life heroes that works in the medical field. She's out there literally on the front COVID lines every day. So
thank you to her.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll send it on. But I can't come home to complain too much.
Adam, make her listen to the podcast.
I gotta get her to listen. But
we need those clips.
Yeah, she's not a big Buffett fan herself, but I did drag her to Virginia Beach last year to the show. So
Dan did say that he would go to a show with like a live show sometime in the future if that ever happens. We're actually moving back to Oregon, so Jimmy doesn't go there as much, so we'll see if that happens. But
you're gonna have to fly somewhere and do like a lot of people do. My wife and I, we make vacations out of it. We have friends in Nashville, we have friends in Chicago, we have friends in Tampa, so we go to all those places and we're like, we're gonna come visit for a few days, you know. And then, by the way,
we do go to Hawaii. We actually got married in Hawaii, so maybe we could go. Actually, the Hawaii live album is like one of my favorite live albums. That album is so good.
Yeah.
So maybe we could go sometime in Hawaii.
Speaking of wonderful, beautiful beaches, and headed to the Pacific, I want to take us to the South Pacific real quick. Actually, I'm not. I said I wasn't, so I'm not. As I name my four songs, this is my favorite four, not on one particular harbor. Distantly in Love and One Particular Harbor are up there. But probably the newest song anybody's ever named on one of their favorite songs. I'm going with Book on a Shelf. Fantastic, right? Encourages me that Jimmy doesn't see his time yet as an artist even close to drawing to an end, which is fantastic. I'm going to go with Only Time Will Tell, since we've talked about Banana Wind quite a bit. I love that one. And the fourth one's hard because, again, sometimes I try to stick to actual like Jimmy Buffett songs with this. But there's a lot of covers that he does that are so good, or songs that other people wrote that are so good. We talked about Banana Wind. Banana Republics is a great tune, but I think that's someone else's song. But oddly,
Steve Goodman. Yep.
Steve Goodman. There you go. I've had Hawaii on the brain too, where you and Dan got married. And Duke's on Sunday is an absolute banger I've been listening to.
It's a good one.
I listened to that one a lot in my car today. That one and a similar vibe, Reggae Billy Hill. I listened to that one a lot in my car today too. It was one of those drive homes from work where like one of us was racing to get our dog, who, despite the fact that we have a 5-month-old, our dog still rules our life. He's the star of the show. So one of us was racing to get our dog from daycare. The other was racing to get our son from daycare. And I needed a couple of quick chill songs, so I went to those two. So I think I'm going maybe Duke's on Sunday, maybe Reggae Billy Hill as my last song there, you know. So Adam, we got that one.
Good choice. We
got that one for this week.
Well, I too had Reggae Billy Hill written down.
Oh, you guys are so insane.
I don't think we've ever even talked about that song, Hank.
I know.
So
it's funny, just really quick, part of the reason why my podcast is more varied and not just Jimmy focused is because like I wanted to have the biggest options for guests, because like I don't have a co-host. But if I had had a friend that loves Jimmy Buffett as much as me, where I could have just had a co-host, like it would have probably just been what you guys are doing. Because like really, like I'd be happy to just talk about Jimmy and only Jimmy every episode, but no one wants to hear just me talk with no response. So I was like, well, I have to have guests, and I wanted to make sure that like I could get a lot of guests. So that's part of the reason why it's so varied. But honestly, like your guys's jam is probably what I would have done if I like knew anybody that would have been a co-host with me.
No, I appreciate that. And I'll tell you, we were, Adam and I were thrilled about the idea of this under 40 victims of fate, you know, and it's cool because here we all are under 40 big James fans. Yeah. But no, I appreciate that compliment. That was really cool.
So since you picked that, I'm not going to count that as one of my four. I can easily, you know, just slide another one in. So top of my list right now is if I could just get it on paper. Man, I've been vibing with that since Christmas, since my mother-in-law got me that vinyl record clock of Somewhere Over China. And my wife asked, you don't play that record a lot, do you? And I was like, no, but I should. And I've been diving back into that. And if I could just get it on paper, sometimes I'll pick the needle up and go right back to it.
I may listen to that as soon as we get done here, Adam.
Yeah, man, it's really good. Really good. My next one, I'm going to go with a song that if you just listen to the music part of it, you'll be like, oh, that's kind of goofy. But listen to the lyrics and it is absolutely brilliant, as so many Jimmy songs are. Off to See the Lizard. Obviously the title track from one of your favorites, Aaliyah. But man, there's so many great lyrics in that song. Superstitious children playing pirate for the day. I heard it from the parrot verbalizing in the tree. I heard it in the songline of the Aborigine. Like, just so many cool lyrics in that song. And then another parallel from the three of us on the podcast, I started playing ukulele over quarantine. And let's see, he was born in November, however old that makes him. My nephew was over here Sunday, and he already loves music. And I just picked up the ukulele, and he was 100% vibing while I was playing Dreamsicle, which is one of my probably 10 favorite songs ever, but definitely toward the top of the list right now. That's been a fun one to play on the ukulele. And then a bit ironic to play this song on the ukulele, six-string music, because there's only four strings. But that's been fun to play too, especially right now, just that first line, turn off the TV, turn off the crap.
I love the ukulele talk. There's, man, I'm not going to attempt his last name. One of you all may want to. It is
Jake Shimabakura or something like that.
Yep, Jake. He opens up some of the European shows for James. Jake, it may be Shimabakura, I think.
I think that's it. That's close enough.
Jake, I'm sorry. If you ever hear this. I thought he.
I also really don't know cool. how to pronounce it, so yeah. That's why I didn't even try.
Because it'd be great to have you on the show. You know, I might look him up and send him this after the show.
Check You're out. Like, you the, need to come be a guest so that we can learn how to pronounce
yeah.
it.
Yeah, listen,
check out the 1 hour and 4 minute mark and come be a guest. You know,
yeah, listen to us butcher your name.
Yeah, right. But he's unbelievable. The ukulele kills it. You know?
Out of this world. Yep.
I also have been trying to learn Dreamsicle because that is also a song that I love. That was actually my song that Jimmy didn't play in Songs You Don't, because the one I really wanted him to play was Something So Feminine About a Mandolin, mm-hmm. and he did do that one. So then my second choice that I really wanted was Dreamsicle, but he did not play that.
Do you have a capo for that thing yet?
Yes, I do.
Okay, just put the capo on the first fret.
Okay.
And then it's just, it's basically just G, C, and D.
Yeah, I think it's been a while. So, like I said, like I'm kind of seasonal. So, like when it's like Halloween and Christmas, I kind mm-hmm. of get distracted because I have other like things like in the, you know, right, and I'm right, not right. like, so I haven't actually played in a couple months. Mm-hmm. But I think I had it mostly down like 4 or 5 months ago.
Right.
If I can remember it still.
Hey, it's not late over there in Phoenix yet. You got time tonight. You know,
you'll have to, when you learn it, you'll have to post a video on your social of you playing it.
I'm really bad at music things. I'm not musical at all. It's like a really difficult struggle for me. I have like posted one thing on Facebook one time, but I probably won't post a lot of stuff until I get like actually okay.
Yeah, I'm just good enough to basically play the rhythm and sing along with it. So
Adam is a great musician, way better than me. I don't have the patience for the piano or guitar. As much as I wish I did, I don't.
I just like wish I was a really good singer, and I'm not.
That's all right. It's the spirit that counts. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, I guess with Jimmy Buffett, it is, you know, like, yeah,
that's right.
If you're just belting out a Jimmy Buffett song, no one's probably going to care if you're that good of a singer.
I think Jimmy, even in a couple of interviews, maybe his famous 60 Minutes interview he did a long time ago, he just was basically, I think he referred to himself, this, I'll try to get it right. This is probably not the exact quote, but he was like, I'm basically an above average singer, but not great, and a decent guitar player. And that's it, you know?
But he's an amazing songwriter and storyteller, and that's what makes him who, an entertainer for sure. Yeah.
No doubt.
That's what makes him the Jimmy Buffett we know and love.
The Jimmy Buffett we know and love for sure. So, hey, we're going to start to wrap up. Aaliyah, this was incredible.
Adam say four songs?
Oh,
I think I got them all four. Yeah, if I could just get it on paper, Off to See the Lizard, Dreamsicle, and Six String Music.
Six String Music. See, I already forgot. Sure. I have a terrible memory.
Yeah. No worries.
Going back in from Reggae Bailey Hill, pulling it off the list.
Yeah, so, that's right. Aaliyah.
You know what? Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you were saying like something a little newer. One that I almost put on my list, but it just like just got edged out, was Earl Is Dead, Cadillac for Sale.
So,
God, that song is so good.
Here we are about to wrap up, but I have to tell the story. So as we were in labor at the hospital, by we, I mean my wife and I was also there. We're there. We have a Jimmy Buffett playlist, obviously, that we're rocking out to while she's in labor the whole time. Didn't cut it off. Mayor, my son, shout out to Peter Mayer, who messaged me back on Facebook and thinks my son is very cute in a onesie. He's right. Mayer, inspired by Peter and Jim Mayer and their name, but my son Mayer, his hair and head started to come out a little bit. Sorry if TMI, and Earl's Dead, Cadillac for Sale was on. He was officially born during Far Side of the World, but my wife and I have had this debate, like, was which one do we count it? What was his official first song? Was it Far Side of the World, or was it Earl's Dead, Cadillac for Sale?
Right, like he was crowning, no? So technically.
Yes, crowning, thank you, yes. Yes, and so we've had that, and my wife desperately wants us to just go hardcore with Far Side of the World.
That I mean, that is...
Because we love that jam.
That's a good one, too.
I will always remember that day with Earl's Dead, Cadillacs for Sale.
It's a good song.
Hank, I've never heard that story, but it nearly brings me to tears, because Mayer is one of the name suggestions I gave you when you were asking for boy names.
That's right.
And Far Side of the World, if I had to pick a favorite song, it would be Far Side of the World.
Aww.
So you know, I feel super connected to the kid. I haven't met him in person yet, but I can't wait for him to meet Uncle Adam, you know.
Same here,
That's
man.
So
you're
nice.
Right. Yeah. You're right. We got that was your idea. We got the inspiration. We thought about Cameron a little bit. But man, I love Mayer. We've gotten a lot of compliments on the name. I like it, but I'm biased.
Yeah. It's such a sick name.
Yeah,
it's
a good name.
I love it. No, Aaliyah, thank you so much for your time. We couldn't appreciate it more. Whether or not you listen to us anymore or not. Thank you.
No, I will now. I've been thoroughly guilted into, I'll have to listen to Podcasting in Paradise, and I guess I'll listen to Classic Buffett's pod. I mean,
well, no, you don't have to listen. You don't have to listen to them, just us.
Oh, right. Okay.
No, I tell you what I do.
Don't tell anyone that I'm not going to listen to anyone.
I tell you what I do is, wow. Now, I'm not a big-time gamer, but as Hank said, I am a big-time golfer. So naturally, the only video game I play is the PGA Tour video game. But while I'm going for a nightly round, I'll put my AirPods in and throw a podcast on. That's pretty reliable.
Yeah, that's smart. I was planning on maybe starting a Twitch channel, though, which, like, you kind of have to talk and stuff. So we'll see how that goes. But maybe if I don't, when I'm not Twitch, when I'm not streaming, that's a good idea to listen to podcasts.
Well,
it would have to be like a non very heavy story based game, because like part of the reason why I don't listen to them while I work is that I get distracted really easily. So I can either focus on what I'm doing, or I can listen to, so I could listen to the podcast, but I wouldn't really hear anything you were saying, mm-hmm. because I would be like focused on working, because I don't multitask very well in my brain.
Right. In all seriousness, no worries, no guilt on your end. Thank you so much. Do you want to tell people real quick how they can find you on social media or your email?
Oh, sure. So it's Blame It on Buffett Podcast. It's on pretty much all the podcasting platforms. Anchor is like the host one, but it gets pushed out to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, probably anywhere. You can just search for Blame It on Buffett. And it's at Blame Buffett Pod on Twitter and Instagram. You can search for it on Facebook and find me. If you want to reach out to me, which I would love, I've actually been on a little bit of a hiatus, so I haven't posted in like a month. I haven't done a new episode, but this is like my, I was like sort of hibernating a little bit, but this is my like jolt to get back into it, because I had so much fun talking to you all, and I just want to, now I'm like fired up to record some episodes, and you guys will definitely be invited to come on soon. So yeah, if you want to email me, you can do that at blameitonbuffettpodcast@gmail.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for being here. Hank, anything you want to add, buddy?
Yeah, I love it. I just want to say thanks. It was awesome. You're right. I had a ton of fun too. I'm glad you did. It just was great. So it was wonderful to get to connect and talk and, you know, chat about Buffett and those kind of things. If, reiterate to our audience, if you're in the marketplace for a Trop Rock based, Buffett podcast as well, but more Trop Rock based, check out Blame It on Buffett Pod, and continue to, keep supporting Adam and I. It means the world. We're so glad you're listening, to Under 40 Victims of Fate podcast. We just really appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much for inviting me on. Like, I had a really awesome time.
Yeah, likewise.
And if you ever just want to hang out and talk about Jimmy Buffett and not record it, I'm down for that too.
Totally. Yeah. That sounds like a plan. Thanks again, Aaliyah. Hank, we'll see you, man. Thanks for listening, everybody.